Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Welcome to the Psychic Funhouse, a special place of exploration, love, and healing. Stay inside your ride, but prepare to expand your consciousness. Your psychic pitchmen, Michael Espinoza and Lawrence Birch, are your guides as we embark together on a magical journey. Here's the entrance, and right there is your seat. So, let's start the show.
Ding, ding. Hello.
Another
hello.
Masterful introduction. It's a psychic funhouse, everybody.
Welcome, everybody. Hello, hello.
Are you feeling
I'm
fun
today?
Are you in the house?
The fun is in the house.
That's right.
I'm here with
you. Are here today.
Right? I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here today
here.
With my amazing co-host, Lawrence Birch.
And I am here with my amazing co-host, Mr. Michael J. Espinoza with a Z. All right. Crowd goes wild.
Exactly. Ta-da. How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right. The heat finally broke, so it's decent temperatures here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, good. We got through our 96-degree day yesterday. Ugh.
Was it lovely?
It was everything you could hope for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sweltering. Steamy.
We had a big day today, and tomorrow and Sunday are going to be even bigger here in L.A.
Really? Yeah.
Yep. We're going to have supposedly 107 on Saturday and 109 on Sunday.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. It's crazy.
You need to cut yourself you need to cut yourself a hollow reed and just go jump in somebody's pool and stand or breathe through it for the whole day.
I think I'm going to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yikes.
Yeah, it's a hot one.
Well, stuck up on cold drinks and popsicles.
Yeah. Exactly. So
how's your week?
It's been good. It's
yeah.
It was going well. Yep, had some good readings and some really great healings. I find it really interesting. The majority of my healing clients have been about stress and anxiety. And reading clients have, the majority are about love and relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I thought it would be more about work, but I'm pretty surprised that most of them are about love relationships.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you? How was your week?
My week was good. I went over to the coast at the beginning of the week, which was delightful. Yep. And had a great time over there. The weather was perfect. And I went because there was a really low tide Tuesday morning. So I wanted to take a look at all the tidal life and seaweed and everything that gets uncovered. I had this book when I was a kid about, I think it was called The Five Chinese Brothers. I don't know how racist it was thinking about it now, but they all had these different skill sets, and for some reason, you know, the white people in the book wanted to kill them, but they didn't know there were five of them because they all looked alike, of course. And I guess it's more of a horrible children's book, I think, but that's what a lot of those fairy tales are like. You know, they're like, God, this is horrible. We're reading this to children.
Oh my God.
What kind of books are you reading? Well, you know, that was my childhood, and so like they tried to cut off his head once, but he had, I don't know, he had like a steel neck or something, and then tried to put him in an oven, and that was the brother that, you know, was impervious to fire and so on. But to me, the most fascinating skill that the one brother had was he could like hold all the ocean in his mouth. So there was an illustration, I'll never get it out of my head, of him like sucking up all the water and just holding on to it. He could do it temporarily, you know. And there's a little kid in the book, and he's like, oh, fascinated. So maybe that's why they ended up wanting to get him, because like he did that trick. And the little kid ran out against the guy's wishes, and he's like, come back, come back. And then he didn't. So he had to spit all the water out, and of course the kid drowned. So, you know, it was his fault kind of thing.
Oh, wow. Something.
So.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that book.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Sounds a little scary to me.
Yeah. It is. but that's what, yeah, that's what childhood's supposed to be like. Prepare you for adulthood.
Hmm.
The terrors of adulthood. Right?
Was it preparing you?
I don't know. But
is that what it was supposed to do?
It definitely made me fascinated about things that happen in the ocean, you know, high tides, low tides, and tidal waves, and marine biology. So what was nice to see when I was there earlier this week is it looks like the starfish are coming back, because they got this virus that showed up a few years back and started to wipe them out. But I saw a lot coming back, little guys.
Wow.
Too, so. Yeah. That was
encouraging. You saw some starfish?
Mm-hmm. And some seals.
Nice.
Yep. And I rescued a fish that was trapped. So.
Nice. Do you feel the nature devas there?
You know, I do. I used to teach a class every year on edible and medicinal seaweeds, and we would go down to the place I went to and collect things and dry them there and make stuff with them. And I'd talk about them. And just about every time I went there, there was this bald eagle that would fly around, and we'd get to see it, which was really, you know, pretty amazing sight.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen it in a while. And then for a while, for a couple of seasons, there were these river otters that were, there were like two or three of them, and they were, you know, swimming in surf. And I always thought that was a good sign, because otters are so, you know, intelligent and playful and just pretty magical. But it's a, you know, it's a different vibe down there than it is in other places. The energy there is really, it's changing all the time, which is part of, I think, why I'm attracted to the environment, you know, because you can walk all over the place and then the water will come in and just erase your footsteps and set up a whole new canvas, clean site. Which is a good metaphor, I think.
Yeah, that is cool.
Mm-hmm.
When I was back east, every year we would have a retreat, a spiritual retreat, and I practice our Hatha yoga, and it's meditation, forms of meditation, and so we go once a year up into upstate New York. And it's just so beautiful up there, and it's so magical, and all the greenery around, and it's just really lush, and you're aware of the nature beings around you,
mm-hmm.
the Deva,
mm-hmm.
and it's just so magical. It's amazing.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really nice. So, yeah. I'm more attracted to the a forest, the trees, than I am the water.
Mm-hmm.
I have
mm-hmm.
a friend
mm-hmm.
who loves the water. Oh, my God. She's like a fish. I think she was a mermaid in a different life.
Yeah.
Yeah. She needs water. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
I like it all. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do like the coast.
Yeah. Your coast is a lot different than ours down here.
Yeah. There are beaches down there. We have beaches here, but pretty much everybody says they're going to the coast, not to the beach.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Colder.
So how can our clients get a hold of you, our listeners get a hold of you?
Well, they can meet me at the next low tide, or they can call me. My number is 541-344-7534. And I do readings and healings remotely and in person. You can also send me an email, givingtree@earthlink.net. And you're welcome to check out my website and my Facebook page, Giving Tree Farm Herbs. So there you have it. And if somebody wanted a really reading or healing, what would be the best way for them to get in touch with you, Mr. E?
They can give me a call at 562-457-0457. You can also contact me through my website, michaeljespinoza.com. There's
nice.
A link there to send me an email. It's a contact form, or you can also just book a reading or a healing. And
cool.
I can do it in person or remotely as well via Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you want to take some calls?
Let's do this.
You ready to do this?
I am.
All right, so here we go. So the first caller is going to be 860. Tell us your name and where you're calling from. 860.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Hi.
My name is Lisa, and I'm calling from Connecticut.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi. Good. Loved your story. Thank you.
Cool.
I thought the same. I just have to say, I think the same thing about fairy tales when I look at them and think, well, they are called Grimm fairy tales. They aren't kidding.
That's true.
Really
good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Truth.
She doesn't want to read about.
How can we help you?
Which is eating children. Yeah, exactly.
Growing up our kids, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How can you talk to my parents at all in spirit?
Mm.
Sure.
They both passed on.
Hmm?
They both passed on. Sorry, Michael.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right, let's see. I'm getting there is a gentleman that's stepping forward for you, Lisa. And he keeps showing me a truck. And the truck looks like it might have been like in the Midwest. It looks like there's a lot of land. Was he born like on a farm, or where he grew up, was there a lot of land?
My grandmother's father was born on a farm.
Okay. He shows me, and it's an old truck. It's not a recent truck. So your mother's father was born on a farm, or he had a farm?
Yeah, they grew up on a farm in Vermont.
Okay. And did he wear glasses? And he looks like he's almost bald. So it looks like he's showing to me his age. He's older, this man.
Yeah, and his hair was almost like that white blonde, so he always looked like he didn't have any.
Yeah. And he shows me he's wearing kind of like a Pendleton shirt jacket almost.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, was the truck red too? Do you know?
Oh, I don't know. They were here when I was born.
Oh, okay.
They had moved to Connecticut when I was born.
Okay. Well, anyway, this person, I believe it's a grandfather. So you were saying this sounds like your mother's father.
Yep.
He wants you to, I'm sorry?
Yes. Go ahead.
He's been around you for a long time. And he is, it's like you're his little shining star. And you just make him really happy. And he wants you to know that he came to receive your mother.
He came what?
To receive your mother.
Oh,
when
wow.
Your mother left the earth. Yeah. When she transitioned. Yeah, he received her.
Nice.
Uh-huh. He tells me, too, that they were very hardworking, or he was very hardworking. And something about the hardworking, it's almost like you have that work ethic now. Do you understand that?
Yes.
That you're hardworking?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Can he tell me when I'm going to see my son again?
Let's see. He's not answering that.
Okay.
From that question, I'm kind of gathering, so is your son on the other side?
No, he's here. He's just not coming home at all.
Okay, got it. Okay. Yeah, they can't predict that usually. Let's see what else he says. So he wants you to know that he sees that you're going through a tough time right now. And that he's with you. And that also your grandmother is with you too, his wife.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And your mother is as well. And he's going to try his best to help you. He always has, and he says he's going to continue trying to help you as best he can from the other side.
That's so nice. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And he's sending you a lot of love.
Wonderful.
Are there?
Thank you so much.
A lot of butterflies?
Sometimes, yeah.
He wants you to know that that's him.
Cool.
When you
nice.
See a butterfly.
Very
yeah.
nice. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. That's all I'm seeing right now from your family.
Thank you.
That's stepping forward. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Lawrence, do you have anything?
Lisa, what's your son's name, if you don't mind?
Roberto.
Roberto?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just going to see if I can locate him. So, what's coming to me about Roberto is he's asking a lot of questions. He's in a place, I guess, where he's really maybe questioning himself and his relationship with you, and. What I see him doing is kind of going in circles. So he's in a kind of an agitated or anxious place. I get the sense that he's trying to find some direction. He's got some feelings of shame going on. I'm not sure where that's coming from.
I am. That makes sense. He should be ashamed.
Yeah. So he's kind of with, you know, he's withdrawn and, he's in an emotionally unstable place. He's not, you know, a danger to himself or anybody, but he's just really, he's not sure what his next steps are going to be. And, what I would characterize him as is he's at war with himself. Like part of him knows he needs guidance and another part of him doesn't want to get help from anybody. He just wants to, you know, really either be by himself or just it's almost like he's hiding. Like I think he's hiding from people, but he's also hiding some stuff away from himself. So he's in a lot of turmoil and he's not, he's in a very, you know, troubled, unhappy, just really kind of a confused place. And I think, you know, he's in a denial about his circumstances too. There's something that he's, you know, I don't know that it's you, but there's another family member he's got a conflict with, or maybe even more than one. And he's not going to resolve this by confronting it. He's at this point, anyways, he's kind of choosing to run away. So, so I don't know that he's going to be in touch with you. You know, anytime soon. I guess what I'm getting is maybe in a couple months. Do you have contact? Do you have a way to contact him?
None. I'll tell you how right you are. He threw his parents away and his relationship with us to be with a woman who had no parents because she didn't want us around either, because she didn't have them. Then she cheated on him for 5 years. We're not even sure what children he has or his. So. You were so on. You are so on that it's ridiculous. Yeah, that's what the turmoil is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, this is going to take a while, I think, for it to kind of work its way through him. You know, it's almost like, you know, I wouldn't say he's in a cult, but he's kind of in this. He's not the one who's the dominant person in that relationship, so he's being really led around by this other person, and so he's, you know, he's just he's really vulnerable, and he's not going to talk to anybody who's going to confront him with their version of what he's going through, right? So. You know, he's kind of in an echo chamber. You know, I think there's a part of him that feels trapped and, like he doesn't know what to do. And, but there's another part that knows that he's got more control over the situation than he wants to, but he's kind of put himself in a rock and a hard place. Because if he has, you know, if he comes to terms with what's been going on for him, you know, and I'm sure it's this relationship, but it's also other stuff too that he's made, you know, not so good choices about. Then that means he has to admit that he really screwed up, and every time he's come close to doing that, he gets a lot of pushback from, you know, it sounds like the person in his life and other people too. And, so, you know, he's not going to break free of that until he really gets some separation between, you know, the fantasy that people are feeding him and that he desperately wants to hold on to and, you know, the reality of what his life is like. So he's, you know, he's in a really tough spot. Like just connecting with him is just like, it's like a whirlpool. So
I send gifts to the children. I send gifts to them. I send them cards. I love them. So he knows he can come back. My hands are tied. That's all I can do.
Have you ever met the children? Do you have any contact with them at all?
The child that she had when she was going with him, I only met her for an hour, and the child for an hour, that was it. I never met my grandchild. I don't know if it is my grandchild.
Oh, man, that's hard. I'm sorry to hear all that.
It's awful. I'm an Italian mother, and we were a very close family.
Yeah. Well, you know, what Michael was saying about you know, a grandfather spirit there being your ally, I would really recommend, you know, if you have any kind of spiritual practice you do or connection or anything, to reach out for support. Sometimes, you know, what can happen is, you know, the ancestors that we have can intercede, you know, on our behalf. They can do work in their realm, in the spirit world, to help resolve issues much easier than we can, you know, here in this plane. And that might be something for you to consider doing, you know, just reaching out in that way and just asking for help. And, you know, if there's anything that they can do or he can do for you to help out.
I will do that. Thank you so much. You both blessed me tonight. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Yeah, well, thanks for blessing us with your presence.
Yes, thank you for your call, Lisa.
Have a lovely holiday.
Good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
You too. Let us know how it goes.
I will. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Hang in there.
Well,
hang in there. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Let's see. Well,
I'll jump right into
tough
that one.
Yeah, all right.
No kidding.
We don't waste time here, people.
No.
All right. You ready for the next call?
This ain't no downstream podcast. Yes.
All right. So we're going to take the next call. It's going to be caller 203. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name's
Hello.
Kat. Hi.
Hi, Kat.
Hi, from Connecticut. First time caller. So not familiar with how you do this.
What's going on for you? Yeah, do you have a question about things or something we can help you with?
Sure. Recovery and health. I'm 67 and 3 weeks ago had what the hospital is calling a mini stroke, which was a surprise. And I think it's probably a gift that it happened, but still in a kind of confused state with, I think, typical reactions that are not so rational. And with the COVID, I can't get support. You know, support groups are shut down and so on and so on. So that's made it hard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us more about what you mean by not having rational thoughts or feelings going on?
I think it's typical that after you have a stroke, you're afraid to do things, or if you have the similar headache that you had when you were in the hospital and you haven't had that type of headache in 30 years, you think, oh my God, is it happening again? Do I need to go? Am I having a stroke? Am I going to die? Or can I exercise or am I going to kill myself? They're typical. And if you get them answered, you're fine. But if there's no one to answer them, then they become irrational, which is what happened to me because there's no one, there's nothing really available to get help with this stuff. So for the first week, I was pretty high and positive about, you know, what all this was going to motivate me to do. And then the past couple of weeks, I started to get really pretty depressed. And I think it's for that reason, but I'm not sure because I struggle with depression anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So am I right in hearing you had the stroke while you were in the hospital or you had a headache and you went to the hospital and they diagnosed
no,
with
no,
a stroke?
No.
Or?
No, I was just giving that as an example, as a thought that could make you worry. I had it at home.
Okay.
I went to the emergency room and while I was there, I developed a headache that I tend to get migraines. This kind of headache was like my whole head. It was like a cap. So that's come back a couple of times, and I'm like, do I need to go? Am I having a stroke? You know, you get so afraid of every little thing because you don't know if this is normal. You know, and I'm learning that the body, like my body, it's as if I've been lying in bed for 3 months. It's like I have no muscle. But my niece, who works with paralyzed people, said, that's actually not true. Your muscles are strong, but your brain is telling your muscles that they're weak. So it's interesting, the whole thing. But there's not a lot of sources to learn about this stuff.
Yeah. as you know, as long as we're talking, can I? You may already have this, but national kind of stroke support group, and they have a number you can call. I realize it's just a phone number, but there should be somebody on the other end who can maybe help you out with resources.
I think I just came across that number tonight. So
yeah.
I think we're talking about the same organization, and I will be calling them.
Okay, good. Yeah, it's the American Stroke Association. Uh-huh.
Exactly.
Okay.
I just found that tonight in my reading. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I would definitely contact them, and you know, just to help map out, you know, what kind of solutions you can have to the issues you're experiencing now, that, you know, especially because we're in coronavirus time. So you're not feeling supported, and depression's kind of creeping back in, and you have some fears going on about another stroke showing up, or, you know, and
mm-hmm. They give you a warning now that you've had a stroke, you're more likely to have one. It's really across the board. It covers so many different things. And when I was trying to decide whether to go into the hospital or not, my dog, mm-hmm. who's a quiet old hound that doesn't react to anything except a couch, a bed, a chair, and food, stood in front of me and barked and barked and barked and barked, and it was amazing. He was saying something's wrong with you. And so then when I was home about mm-hmm. 3 days later, I woke up and got out of bed, and my leg kind of did a little bit of the same thing. And I went into the bathroom, and he came and followed me and looked at me, and I thought, oh, my God, is he telling me again? Mm. It's so confusing, because there is no one to call up and ask, mainly because of COVID.
Right.
Mainly because of COVID. So
it's
interesting. Everything is affected by COVID one way or another.
I know. Yeah.
So,
well, that's great. You have a canine companion there who's tuned into you. That's huge.
It's wonderful. Yeah. Really wonderful.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you, whatever you want to do.
Whatever's coming up. Yeah. Well,
I
definitely would call that number tomorrow.
Yeah, I will.
You know, and avail yourself of them, because I think they're going to be able to help you quite a bit. And give you some positive things to focus on. Are you taking medication, if you don't mind my asking? Like, are you on blood thinners, or was it? Yeah.
I was on that for 3 weeks. That just stopped. I'm on something for cholesterol now, a baby aspirin every day, and a new type of blood pressure medicine.
Okay. Previous to the incident, did you have any kind of physical activity routine or exercise or any kind, or what
I've
did you
been
do to,
struggling
yeah.
I've been struggling mm-hmm. to get back into exercising for a really long time, and interestingly, only, you know, 2-3 weeks before, I just mm-hmm. finally got back into a short bit of yoga and then some breathing exercises, and one of them was for high blood pressure. So here's another example. Did I cause this stroke by doing this breathing and this, you know, You think that you're trying to figure out why it happened, and you're finding lots
of
reasons.
Of course. Yeah. Well, you know, there's a saying in the scientific community about correlation not being causation. You know, meaning you might see some patterns, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're gonna, you know, figure out, you know, on your own what was the cause of this. Did your doctors give you some clues about that? Were they able to tell you where it was coming from? Or?
Oh, yeah. I've got some results. And mm-hmm. actually, it's all basically good. I've got a little bit of plaque in my carotid artery, and then we're going to have one more thorough scan on that. And I'm wearing a heart monitor for a month, so that'll reveal something or nothing, you know.
Sure.
And then, you know, I mean, I look at all aspects of it. I had a major, my son is everything to me, and I love him very much, but we had a major falling out 2 years ago. And because he's got his anger that I let him put on me, thinking I was helping him buffer it. And I finally realized, no, I'm not doing that at all. And what he's being is abusive to me. So I stopped it, and that caused a lot of issues with him. And essentially, it tore my heart out. And, you know, I looked at it thoroughly and prayed. And, you know, I really did a great job with handling it and letting go and letting him, you know, be angry and you know, maybe he'd never even talk to me again, and I have a granddaughter. And, you know, I let it all go with prayer. So I've handled it really well. But, you know, I know when people lose a partner, give them 2 years, and then they'll come up with, you know, an illness. I've seen that happen a lot. And that crossed my mind. You know, did that affect me? Because it is my heart, you know. He really broke my heart. And, so I looked at it in all levels.
Well, yeah, obviously, you know, you go pretty deep with things, and, you know, that's a blessing and a challenge at the same time.
Right.
Stuff really, you know, gets to you more deeply than maybe the average person. I think there's a couple things just that, you know, I want to share with you. One is, you know, yoga can be really wonderful, actually, for people with your issues. And I would encourage you to go online if you have access and find some yoga that's specific for people with strokes, and look around until you find, you know, a video that you really connect with, and try to do some yoga every day if you can, because I think that'll make a big difference. It can help you recover some of your emotional stability that's, you know, you're having trouble with, as well as help you get a little bit more confidence in your physical body again, because it's hard when something like this happens. It affects potentially your mental and emotional self, right? It's different than when you like break a leg or something. You know, you might feel that sense of betrayal, but you know, when you can't count on processing things like you have, it can be very, very disorienting. So, you really just want to be good to yourself and be gentle with yourself and be really kind and forgiving. And, you know, all that support that you were able to give, even though it ended up, you know, kind of feeling maybe misguided towards your son, definitely allow that to reflect back on yourself and you know, give yourself as much patience as you can. So there's all that. So the other thing that my guides are suggesting is there's some unresolved stress in your life coming from, I don't know if it's a past relationship or, you know, whatever you did as a professional or something, but there's some things that I think you've got some regret mixed with kind of your own sense of anger about, and you know, those things are really contributing to a lot of physical manifestations of stress in your life. And if there's a counselor over the phone you can connect with, or you know, if you can do some writing, something where, you know, you need to let this stuff out. So this is a time for you to really channel some of this deep sense of wrong, I think, because I think there's a attachment you have about being wronged, like you were wronged by people. Yeah. And so there's this injustice, and you need to bring it out and just get it out of your body, so it's not poisoning you, and write about it, shout it out, you know, yell under your pillow, you know, as long as you don't scare your doggy, you know, something.
Yeah.
So
right.
That, you know, you have a way to not carry it around anymore, because this is a, you know, it's almost like this big hunchback on your back that's just weighing you down like a heavy, heavy stone. And I think you'll find as you work through this, it's going to, first of all, it's just going to help you feel better. And it's also going to shift your perspective on yourself and your relationships enough that I think things are going to open up for you, and you're going to be able to, you know, to have a greater sense of freedom in how you relate to people. There's a hesitancy, so, yeah.
You're right about that. And I actually thought that I had finally started to make headway with that healing in the work. And also, I forgot about this until you brought this up. When I was in the hospital and they said, you know, you've got some plaque and maybe something broke off and went into your brain, I kept hearing this sentence, I think a piece of plaque broke off like it was a piece of bitterness and just floated away, never to return. And that,
wow.
I forgot about that. And that's one reason why I was really high and positive the first week, because I just thought, you know, that sentence kept coming up and kept coming up out of the blue. And I thought, okay, this is real. Someone's giving me this message, you know. And that's great. That's wonderful, you know.
Yeah.
So certainly I understand if they see that, but I really thought I was beginning to finally make headway with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't discount it. You know, you definitely are. You know, I think you've got tremendous insight into this. And, well, speaking of which, you know, I used to teach anatomy physiology, and there's a book written by a woman who is a physician who had a stroke, and it's called My Stroke of Insight.
Okay.
And it's a really amazing book.
Great.
Yeah.
That sounds great. Yeah, you are grasping everything I say as if you're educated in this, you know, you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, the other person who's come to mind, I don't know if you're familiar with her work or not, but I think she would really speak to you, especially as you're crafting, you know, really a recovery and a regaining of self, is Angelus Arian. Is that name
Angela
you?
No,
Angelus,
not heard of
Angelus Arian. Yeah, well, she wrote several books. One was pretty instrumental, called The Fourfold Way, and
The Fourfold Way, F-O-L-D?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yes.
Can you spell her last name?
Sure. So her first name is Angelus, A-N-G-L-E-S,
yep.
And then last name is A-R-R-I-E-N.
Great. Haven't heard of her. You've just, you know, I mean, this is exactly what I'm looking for, is not just the simple things of, oh, are you taking your medicine? Oh, good for you. You know, I want this. This kind of stuff, you know.
Well,
exactly.
like I was saying earlier, you know, you're in your own way, you know, and I don't think it's always so quiet, because I don't like stereotyping, but you're a visionary, and so you need to feed that part of yourself, especially now. And if you're able to turn this around into something that isn't just meaningful, but you get to be constructive and practical with it, then you've got a real opportunity that's been dealt with you. And I love that you were able to hear that, you know, that voice tell you that this clot had broken off of bitterness, never returned. You need to journal, if you aren't already, writing that down somewhere, because that's, and sharing that with others, I think it's going to be really instrumental too. So.
Okay. It's magical. It's magical. I mean, actually, if that happened, wow. And actually, if my son broke my heart and that affected me, wow. You know, I mean, that's really, it's cool. It's interesting. It confirms that it's not just a physical body that we're experiencing. It really does confirm what these etheric, or I don't know what the words are for it, but that this is as real as anything else.
Even more real in some ways, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah. Well, no matter what happens, really, you know, just find a way to trust yourself again in this time frame, and really dig in to your instincts and keep asking for guidance, and you know, it's already coming to you. So just trust that channel. Okay.
Thank you so much. I had such a frustrating telephone call with my doctor today, and you just brought me exactly what I was looking for. So thank you very, very much. I'm so glad I called, and I'll be following you. Thank you so much.
Oh, you bet. Stay in
thank
touch with
you
us.
For calling.
Let us know how things progress. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Talk again. Bye-bye.
Take care, Pat.
All right. You be well.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thanks.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. An interesting show, for sure.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I think we have time for one more call.
Okay.
Ready, sir?
I'm ready, my friend.
Here we go. Area code 631. What's your name?
Yes,
and where are you calling
thanks
from?
Thanks for taking my phone call. My name is Suzanne. I just want to see what you see if you see me getting a new job.
Okay. I do. I see that coming in 3 to 4 months. From now.
Oh, I need it before then.
Not,
I'm applying now for places that are hiring now.
Yeah. I keep seeing 3 or 4, and it doesn't feel like it soon.
Believe that because I'm putting applications out, and they're hiring now, so I have to get something now. I don't want to stay where I am for 3 or 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
It's part-time. I need full-time.
Okay. Do you have anything, Lawrence?
Is there one job in particular that you want more than anything else? Yeah.
Well, I'm a bus monitor right now, but I want to be a teacher aide or teacher assistant. I can't live on what I'm making, and it's not good. So, you know, there was ads out there for now, whatever. So I applied.
Is this position in the same district that you're already working in?
No.
Okay. What I would recommend you do, if you want to try to jumpstart this, is to go to, you know, wherever you would normally go to interview.
What I'm trying to say is you just apply online, and then you can call on stuff, but I already did all that. I call
right.
all the, there's only a certain amount of places that, you know, are opening right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it. And so what I'm suggesting is that you go to a physical location that's connected with the district that you're in to talk to people, because I think that's going to get you more than doing the online stuff. So whoever
Well, I mean, you can call them, but everything's online. You know what I'm saying?
Well, ultimately, they'll probably still make you go through that process. But I think there's stuff that happens that doesn't make it online, or it takes a while. There's a delay. And so I would go to the actual school district, whatever the center is, and talk to the people there and express what it is you're interested in. And, you know, that I think is going to bear more fruit for you right now than just kind of doing the online search, because there's
well,
people there that have
them
information.
And ask, you know what I'm saying? I speak to people that, you know what I mean? You know, and if you don't get a call back, if I go down there, there's really not anybody to talk to. All you can do is fill another application out and leave.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I mean, that's what I have for you, is to go and physically be present. But it, you know, if it's not practical or it doesn't make sense, then that's just how it is. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I called one twice. I can't go down that. You know what I mean? Like.
Mm-hmm.
Like.
No, I understand. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Thanks.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thanks.
Okay. Well, how many callers do we have left? So, you know.
All right. So we have quite a few callers here. I have my
mm-hmm.
mic off. Sorry. And I know.
Mike with a bike.
Talking.
The What's up with the mic, Mike?
Mike with the
Mike.
Yeah. All right. Dave. So we have time for one more caller. Area code 229. Hello, 229.
Well, thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yeah.
Georgia. My name is Melvin. I'm calling from Georgia.
All right, Melvin.
Hi, Melvin.
What can we do for you?
Yeah. While I was just sitting here waiting, seeking out to come on the show, someone knocked on my door. Just knocked on my door. And I have called the police. They've been out here twice. And they spoke to the guy next door. And was that him again?
Yeah, I definitely got that this was a safety issue you're bringing up. So I think, you know, you have every reason to want to be careful and to feel safe.
Yeah.
There's a hostile environment around you, which sucks. And I'm really sorry to hear that. Totally unnecessary.
Yeah.
But you know, you're good with strategy. You're smart, and you know how to protect yourself. So, yeah, unfortunately, that person you're referring to is definitely not your friend, and probably even on the other side. They've got some sickness or something in their head, so you definitely want to protect yourself from them. And I'm not telling you this to make you feel scared or paranoid. I'm actually, you know, I want to empower you just to really trust yourself and take care of yourself and don't let people, you know, gaslight you or tell you you're crazy, because you're not. But don't let it get away with you either. Just, you know.
Well, is he kind of mental?
That's a good way of putting it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I get he's really angry.
Mm-hmm.
I get
me
this
or
person
just,
is really angry.
Who are you angry with? Me? Because I don't even deal with
no,
him.
No, right. I get he's just angry in general. It's not really about you. It's unfortunately,
right.
It kind of just feels like you're an outlet right now for his anger, unfortunately. But it feels like he's this. It's a male, and he's just really angry.
Well, I have my license to tote my weapon. I'm a former Marine, and I stay by myself, and I'm going to protect myself. Yeah, and the cops, they done been out here. They done been out here. I done told my landlord and all of that, but he's still knocking on my door. And
I was
just about finna go to the door and turn my light on. Would that have been a good idea to see who was it?
Yeah, I think, you know, as much as possible, I would avoid confrontation. Do you have, I don't know what kind of size city you live in or anything, Melvin, but do you have any kind of social services or mental health services that you could call?
Yes.
Because this
yes,
is really who he needs to see if he isn't already. Because the cops
right.
are going to do what they do, which, you know, they're limited in what they can do in this situation, unfortunately. But he
yeah.
needs to have somebody put on his tail who's aware that he's got some mental health issues that aren't being addressed, or they're, you know, and I'm not saying you need to be a social worker, but that's what I would do next, is just to alert those people. So, you know, so you've got the police that are aware, you've got social services, mental health services. So somebody eventually
right.
will scoop him up in his net, but I would, you know, as much as possible, just stay the hell away from this person. Cause he's going to try to trigger you and get you to act out so he can justify, like Michael was saying, you know, venting his anger, unfortunately. And I would so hate for him to have any excuse to hurt you in any way, shape, or form, even if it's just verbally, Melvin. So you know, just stay the hell away from this guy, you know, as much as you can.
I'm really sorry.
Yeah, do you see him
Melvin?
Leaving? Yes.
Well, one thing my guides were saying and showing me, can you purchase a camera that you can put, like, on your front door?
Yes, I can
do that. They make a lot of cameras now, you know, that are easy to install and that can work,
right.
You know, either on a smartphone or a computer so that you can have a
mm-hmm.
look before going to your door.
Yeah.
Not only that, that can potentially be used as evidence in case he does anything malicious. You know, you've got him recorded. And that, you know,
yeah.
right.
that can help, you know, help when it comes, if it comes to that. So,
yeah. you don't think it's going to come, is it going to come to that?
Well, what my guys are saying is you're the one who has the most control in the situation, right?
Yeah.
And I know there's this instinct in you because, you know, you're a former soldier, right? So, your instinct
right.
is to meet stuff head on and not run away from it, which is great in a lot of circumstances. But in this one, you know, and I'm not saying this word lightly, but, you know, there's a little bit of retreat, you know, so you can, you know, outwit this guy that I think you need to employ. Don't engage because it's not going to end well if you engage with him, you know. So just, you know, as much as possible. And don't look at it as you giving in to him. Look at it as you outsmarting him by, you know, using his energy against him, which is, you know, he wants to be angry in your presence. You're not going to give him the opportunity to do that. You're not going to give him a chance to engage with you and to make you mad because that's exactly what he wants. So you gotta be smarter than that and stronger and just steer clear.
Yeah, I can
steer
tell.
Clear.
I can tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he's a sick individual.
Yeah, he want to agitate me.
I can tell
because all the cops here in town, they know me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a former football coach. And they know me very well. Yeah, they know me very well. I never been in trouble. But I just want to see what you all see about my health. I'm having a lot of issues. With my health.
Okay. How do you feel about the help that you're getting with your health right now? Do you feel like you're getting your issues addressed?
Well, the doctor that I was talking to, he's a VA doctor, but I'm going to fire and get me another doctor at the VA.
Mm-hmm.
And but I see other doctors too as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I have gained a lot of weight, popped up somewhere because I got a car wreck and hurt myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hurt myself. And then I got injured. See, I got injured when I was working and injured my lower back. And then turned back around, I got in a car wreck. And then to re-injure my back and my hip.
Wow.
So, I've just been going through a lot right now. And I
Man, it
just
sounds like
lost,
it.
Yeah, I just lost my brother, see. And,
gosh.
That's why I want to keep my distance from him because
I
go off of him.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Yeah.
You don't want that.
You know, I didn't tell the landlord, but anyway, so he's trying to pick a fight.
Yeah, it's really, it almost has nothing to do with you. It's all messed up crap in his head, Melvin. Mm-hmm. You know, I wish we had more, Melvin, I'm so sorry. I wish we had more time to get into more of the issues with you, but we're just right at the end of the program. So, you know, unfortunately we have to let you go, but I'll definitely, you know, send you some positive prayers from my end of things. And I know, you know, Michael can do that too.
Absolutely.
I think you're, you know, you're, you're going to get a healthcare professional that's going to be really helpful to you. So trust in that that's coming, and whatever support you need for, you know, the grief you might be feeling about the loss of your brother, you know, that, that, you know, it may be hard to talk about, but I'm glad that you brought it up with us. But, you know, if there's a loved one or somebody you can share about, you know, the positive connections you had with your brother. What was his name?
His name was Lacey.
Lacey Jr.
Yeah, Lacey
Jr. Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know that he's always going to be with you, right? Even if he's not here in physical form, he's still connected to you really deeply. So, maintain that.
Do you all see me moving out of this apartment?
Well, I was going to say, you know, you're gonna leave before that guy is harassing you, Will. So yeah, you're gonna be leaving your location before he will. So
About how long? And that's the last question. About how long?
Yeah. I would say what comes up for me is within 6 to 8 months. So beginning of next year, probably February ish.
Okay. Yeah.
So you got to last, man. Don't tangle with this guy.
I ain't worried. Yeah, I know. All right. See, I used to work in the mental health field.
You know.
I know his triggers and stuff. And so, I know his triggers. I know how to, you know, bring him down from crisis down all the way down.
Good.
So I can just talk to him.
All right. Well, the main thing is, you know, we want you to be safe. You know, please stay safe.
Yeah.
It's important.
Okay. Yes, sir.
All right. Well,
I'll be okay. Right?
Let us know how it goes.
You're
going
to be okay.
Okay?
Yeah, you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Call us next week, next Friday. All right. Well, and we'll try to remember your number and get you on so you have more time with us. All right?
Okay. I thank you all so much. That's
great. Oh, you bet,
okay.
Melvin. Thank you, sir.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. You have a good night.
All right. You too, my friend.
Ooh. All right. We are already over time. So how can people get in touch with you, Lawrence?
My number is 541-344-7534. You can call or text. Email is givingtree@earthlink.net. And my Facebook page, my website, Giving Tree Farm Herb Company. Come and find me there. How about you, Michael?
People can reach me at michaeljespinoza.com, and you can give me a call at 562-457-0457. Well, thank you, Lawrence, for another great show. So we'll see you next week.
Yeah, we're going to do some fun stuff next week. I thought we would.
What are we doing?
We're going to talk about the terms that we use as psychics, like what does clairaudience mean, what does clairvoyance mean, and then we'll have some examples from our own experience to back it up so people can understand a little bit more about our craft.
All right. That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah.
Good.
Well, thank you, everybody, for calling in. We appreciate you.
We sure do.
From here at the Psychic Funhouse, we thank you.
Have a good rest of your week.
Have a great week.
Be well.
Bye-bye.
Yep. Bye-bye from the Psychic Funhouse.